happy to be here. I'm so happy to be everywhere I am. I don't know whose Bible this is, but I got to get it out of my way because I'm going to try to act like a real preacher today. I got me some notes. Uh-huh. Y'all know I probably hurt myself with these notes, but I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Elaine, I left you all and, ooh, I tell you, I was like a baby. I had my belly full, and I thought, I'm going home, going back to my home this week over here at the hotel, and I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to go to sleep because I get up real early to pray, you know. And I laid down, and I thought, you know how you know you're just about to tip over? And God started singing to me. The Holy Ghost started singing to me. And at 6:30 this morning, he was still singing to me, and I had not shut my eyes for sleep. I think I went to sleep between 6:30 and 7, and I woke up at 7 straight away. But I'm telling you, I think about 3:30 or 4, I text Pastor Stephen. Bless him, Jesus. When Sister Sandy comes, he don't even know what's coming.
That's all right.
You know, I don't know how to sing, and we're not going to do it right now. We'll wait. I'm going to get in the Word. But that song that the Holy Ghost was singing to me, I thought, that's what we need to sing. We need to sing. We need to sing that song. We need to sing that song. I'm telling you, he sang to me all night long. Son, the Lord spoke to me when I was dancing. I love to dance because the Lord dances with me. And he talks to me. He told me to tell you, all you need is a word from God. That's all you need. That is all you need. Because God has got a great advancement coming. It's just right around the corner. It's not even around the corner. It's in plain sight. It's not even. It's in plain sight. And I'm telling you, son, all you need is a word from God. And let me tell you something. Every need shall be supplied. You're going to get it. You're going to get that word from God. You're going to get that word from God. Is your wife here? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. You know, about Michelle and I, this is one of my baby girls over here that's helping me. We were trying to remember when God spoke this to me. I was trying to remember, that's how I judge time, because it's hard, you know, it's just hard to keep time in your mind, because, you know, you just, it's hard for me to do that. And I was trying to remember when God spoke this word to me, and we figured, I think we got it figured that it was about 40 years ago, if I was trying to judge by how old my children were. And the Lord spoke to me in prayer, in a season of fasting. And he said this to me. He said, there will be many fires of adversity that will come against you because of the call and the anointing that I am going to trust you with. And he said, the level of success that you will have is that the level of the fire of my word and the fire of my spirit is greater and burns hotter than the fires of adversity. Yes. He said this to me. He said, because the greater always consumes the lesser. The greater always consumes the lesser. And you know, I paid attention to that word from the Lord because I've never known him to lie. I've never known him to trick me. I've never known him to tell me something that he didn't keep his word over, Pastor Stephen. I've never known him to, I've never known him to not just watch over that word and perform it. I've never known him. I've never known him to fail me on any level. And I've paid close attention to that word that he gave me all those years ago. And yes, there has been many fires of adversity. But I'm telling you, I've not lost one battle. Yes. Because out of all of these troubles, the Lord has delivered me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But I have not that much to do with it, because it's the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Ghost working together.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And I would just encourage everyone, be you young or be you old, to be sure that you keep the Word, the fire of the Word,
yes,
burning on the inside of you.
Yes, Lord.
And that you keep the fire of the Holy Ghost through prayer and through fasting.
Yes.
Because listen to me, children, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal.
Yes.
They are not natural, but they are mighty. They are mighty through God,
yes,
to the pulling down of strongholds.
Hallelujah.
My husband was preaching a funeral, and it was a man that he had worked with for many years, and they hadn't worked together for many years, but they did work together when they were young for many years, and he loved my husband. No, nobody not love my husband. Now, they might not love me, but they love my husband. Oh, it's because he's so sweet. He is so sweet. And you know, one of the things I love the very most about my husband is he makes me laugh. And I love to laugh. Because it doeth good like a medicine.
Yes, hallelujah.
And it keeps you strong. And it keeps you young. But when my husband was praying about preaching this man's funeral, the Lord gave him this message. And I took the thought of his message and I developed it into a message, because God showed me the power of it. And I want to minister to you all today the power of the table. Join me in Luke chapter 22. We'll just turn there right now. The power of the table. Now, the table that my husband was talking about when he preached this man's funeral, he said that it was when he was working for him, that it was at the break table, that at a table in the break room, that he got to know these men that he worked with. Because he said they would come in, and you know how men can be very reserved or very quiet, not like us. We'll sit down. If anybody will listen, we'll tell it. Until we get our flesh all disciplined and realize how powerful that our mouths are, and then we learn to keep them shut unless we're speaking the word. But my husband took that thought, and God began to blow that thought up in my heart. The power of the table. And God began to show me how many tables there are in our lives, and that's what I have notes for. I wrote it down. There's a family table. There's a table in every boardroom, every break room. There is a defense table. There is a prosecutor's table. There is a consultation table in most doctor's offices and in hospitals. There is a table in the conference room at the bank. And there is a table that Jesus called all of his disciples to, mm-hmm, at the most strategic time in his ministry. And we call that table the Last Supper. Now, you know, Israel really did get in some trouble with God. They sinned when they questioned God. Can God prepare a table for us in the wilderness? In our wilderness situations, can God? That's sin. The Bible calls it sin. But I want to talk about for just a minute the family table. Because I am very familiar, my generation is very familiar with the family table. Most of us were. I was, because we lived in the country. At the table, there was order. Everyone knew where to sit. It wasn't musical chairs. We all had our place and we all sat there. Daddy sat at the head of the table. Mama sat right at his right hand. There was usually a couple of high chairs, you know, a little baby in a high chair, and then one starting to get a little bigger. There was usually a baby or two on Sears and Roebuck and Alden catalogs that, you know, because they weren't tall enough. They were big enough to get out of the high chair, but they weren't big enough. And then there were those of us who were older. But we all knew where to sit because there was table. There was order at the table. Every one of us always came to the table. It did not matter how you felt. It did not matter what was going on in your life. You came to the table. The whole family came. There was no division at table time. No matter what was going on in your life, you came to the table. No matter what you were going through, you came to the table and took your position. There may have been a lot of foolishness going on outside or out in the yard or out in the garden where you were working. You might have been having a little fuss in here, fuss in there, you know how children will do, arguing. But I'm telling you, all of that stopped when you got to the table. No foolishness. We may have been crosswise with one another outside, but when we came to the table, everything changed. No distractions at the table. You checked your attitude before you came to the table, or you got checked at the table. That's back when parents weren't afraid of their children. Mm-hmm. My daughter, I had one of my little grandsons, and he was arguing with me. So I just got me what I call a whipping stick. It's great. I'll tell you all, it's great. It's one of those, that painters stir 5-gallon things with. It's just enough that it'll sting their little legs, but it won't really hurt them. But honey, they'll think they've been half killed. So it was my little Parker boy, and I'm telling you, he was cutting up. He didn't want to wear long pants. He wanted to wear his shorts, and it was getting wintertime. And they were at my house, and they were just, Oh, Parker, it's getting cold. It's getting cold. You have to wear your long pants. I said, you and the devil both are a liar. I went and got that whipping stick. I said, Parker, put those pants on right now. I jerked him up, and I just started walking him, and just like that. We were outside. Chrissy Camille said, Mother, if somebody sees this, they'll call the police on you. I said, I'll whip them too when they come. He's going to wear these long pants. No offense, sir. But back when parents weren't afraid of their children, back when parents could do what the Bible says, before some of these jacked up liberals decided they was going to tell us how to raise our children, and we can't go by the Bible anymore. Honey, the devil is a liar. Trying to groom our children for hell. Mm-mm. Oh, no. No, sir. All I have to do when I go out to Nashville, there are just four little stair steps, you know. And I say, if they don't do what they're told or whatever, I say, do you want me to get that whipping stick? No, Grandmother Dear, don't whip Parker. Don't whip Parker. He'll say, don't whip Parker, Grandmother Dear. I said, well, you mind, Grandmother Dear. You mind your mom and daddy, or I will wear you out with that whipping stick. I never have to touch him. Because you know what? I gave him one whipping. That's been 2 years ago. He had never forgot it. And he wears long breeches when it gets cold. Now, I promise you that. I remember my daddy was a quiet man. Oh, I love my daddy. I've never known anything but good men, good, godly men. My great-grandfathers, my grandfathers, my daddy, my husband. It's all I've ever known is good men. And I remember Daddy sat up there. He was quiet. But I remember how things would get resolved at the table. And in just such a quiet way, it just seemed like Daddy always knew. Daddy always knew what to say and how to fix everything. And it wasn't like he was a Mr. Fix-It. It just like he could just say something. It would just smooth everything out. Answers to the day's problems were many times addressed at the family table. It was at the table that many times things were revealed. Decisions were made at the table. Order was set for the next day at the table, many times at the supper table. Strengths and weaknesses were revealed at the table. At the table, we learned one another. We looked each other in the eye. And if we didn't, Daddy or Mama One would say, "Get your head up. Get your head up. When you're talking, get your head up. Look us in the eye. Get your head up. Get your head up." When you talk to someone, you look them in the eye. And I'm telling you, they ruined me. I still can't talk to somebody. I mean, you got to look me in the eye. I just can't. My mouth won't work if you won't look me in the eye. We learned how to conduct ourselves at the table. No arms on the table. No singing at the table. Don't I open your mouth with food in it at the table. And you didn't come to the table just any old way. You know, even Daddy, when he come in out of the field, I remember this so vividly. He and my grandfather, they had, you know, we didn't have running water in the house. And they had a wash basin out here, and they'd draw water and wash their hands and their face. They'd wet their hair. They'd comb their hair because they wouldn't come to the table if their hair was out of order. And they both had clean shirts hanging out there. They would put those shirts on, come to the table, take those shirts off, put the ones that had, the sweat had dried in, go back out in the field and come back, because they always came to the table clean. We learned lots of lessons at the table. And you know what? We really got to know our daddy at the table, because honestly, we didn't see daddy a whole lot of other times because daddy was always working. He was either out in the field or he was at his job at the shoe plant. He was out selling cream. He was milking. He was, you know, daddy worked, but daddy was always at the table. We also pulled ourselves up to the table. We didn't come in slouching around, you know. No, sir. We pulled our chairs up under the table. And I'm going to tell you something. It took effort to get yourself right at the table. We sat still at the table. We were rebuked, encouraged, and corrected at the table. We weren't allowed to eat at just anyone's table either. My mama wouldn't know what their kitchen looked like. She would say, "Don't you eat one bite at that woman's house, because I don't know what her kitchen's like." And of course, that was back when everybody didn't have refrigerators and it could be dangerous. You know? And she'd say, "Don't take anything unless it's a dipper of water that's just been drawn." You didn't eat at just any table. Corporate America knows the power of the table. When huge decisions are to be made, they don't meet out under a tree. They gather in a boardroom and they meet around a table. Almost any public place you will ever work will have a break room, and in it you will find a table. That is where you will get to know those you work with. I learned that from my husband. The most important things in your life will be addressed at a table. Jesus knew the power of the table. At the most important and strategic time in his ministry, he called his disciples around the table. And just like we did at our family table, they learned authority around that table. In Luke chapter 22, we'll begin reading with verse 14. The Bible says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, he said, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it were, determined. But woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be the greatest. At the table. At the table, hearts were revealed right there. At the table, it became abundantly clear. The strife that was among them, the competition that was among them, it was at the table that was revealed. They wanted to know, who is it? I bet I know who it is. I bet it's that Doubting Thomas. I knew he never believed. Oh, the other one said, no, it's sure to be that big mouth Peter. Peter was probably thinking, I think it's that John that can't keep his head off Jesus' chest. But you see, their hearts were revealed at the table. Amen. The strife that was in their heart, the competition, the accusation that was in their heart was revealed at the table. Now join me in verse 31. And the Lord said, and I know you all know these scriptures, so I'm just bouncing around. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, listen to the faith he's speaking at the table. And when thou art converted, in other words, not if you get converted, when you are converted, Peter, the word of the Lord was going out from the table. He said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. And then Peter was revealed there at the table. He said, oh, no. Lord, you got something wrong here. Because, listen, I am prepared to go through it with you. I am prepared to die for you. At the table, revelation came. At the table, faith was released. He said to Peter in verse 34, he said, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou even knowest me. That was while they were still at the table. At the table. Now join me in verse 62. And Peter went out, because you all know the story of what happened to him. We all know that the word of the Lord that was released at the table absolutely came to pass. It absolutely came to pass. And I want to tell you something. So will yours. Your word will absolutely come to pass. Though it tarry, don't you get discouraged. Don't let the enemy intimidate you with time. I'm telling you, it will absolutely come to pass. Yes. But look here. Now, Peter, on the negative side, I mean, he fulfilled the word of the Lord that came at the table. And the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Why? Why did he do that? At the table, there were all 12 of the apostles. Even Judas was there. Power was there. Power of explanation, power of revelation of the things that were about to happen in this particular season. And the answer was revealed at the table. Yes, the problem was revealed at the table, but the answer was also at the same table. Why did Peter go out and weep bitterly? Because he had not adhered to the instruction, the correction, the warnings, the revelations at the table. Behold the table. Behold the table. I wish I had a chair. Well, you know what? I'll make me one. Look here. What do we do? Now, yours may be on a phone. Yours may be on a screen. That's okay with me. Honey, I'm not going to fight you just because I'm nearly 100 years old. I want you to get the word just however you get it. Myself, I just love this sound right here. I just love that. I can hear myself. I love it. I just love it. But you know what? I'm not hating you because you got a screen. Still the table. See, look here. When I get up in the morning, I get up to pray. I do my Bible study later. But you know what I do? I always get my Bible. I just love it in my lap because I never know what God's going to speak to me in prayer. And look here. I get up under it. I get up under it right here. The table. There is power. Power. Wonder-working power. Yes, in the blood of the Lamb. But right here at this table. You know, Jesus said, Brother David said, he said, in the presence of mine enemies. Not out in the backyard. I mean, not out in the back room. He said, I will prepare a table before you, right in the big middle of your enemies, of your adversaries. I don't have to hide out. I will prepare a table. Because why? Why did he say that? Because there is power at the table. There is power at the table. Power. Power, revelation, order, authority, healing, health, wholeness at the table. At the table. Ooh, I'm telling you, you get so full on it. Oh, you get so full on it. And you let it begin to ingest and digest in your life. And you got to go back and get some more. I mean, it's like, I think it was Brother Paul said, I am addicted to the gospel. You know what? That's what I am. I am addicted to this table. I love it. I love this table. I know I love the power of it. I love the order of it. I love the authority of it.
Yes, Lord.
The table. In the presence of mine enemies, the Lord said, I will prepare a table. A table. I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Brother Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23:29. I love it in the Amplified Bible. It says, is not my word like a fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the most stubborn rock in two pieces. Brother Jeremiah also said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I want you to know, when you discipline your flesh to come up to the table and you begin to ingest the power, the meat, the milk, the bread at the table, I want you to know it seems to transition when it starts getting down on the inside of you, and then it goes from being meat, it goes from being milk, it goes from being bread, and it becomes fire.
Lord, hallelujah.
And I am a woman of the word. I love the word. I love the word. You don't hear me preaching on end time. That's not my anointing. I go and hear other people that are anointed for that, to teach on that. That's not what I'm called to. I've just been called to belly up to the table. I mean, get up to it and eat my fill. Eat my fill. Add fasting with it. Add prayer with it. Add confession with it. And somehow or the other, on the inside of me, it has transitioned into fire.
Yes, Lord.
And now, that word, when adversity comes, when the briar patches of life, when those stiff and prickly times of life come, the word that has transitioned into fire burns, burns, burns. Burns and burns out the thickets where the enemy would like to trap me, hold me, slow me down. Oh no. Nope. No, because I read in my Bible. I got up to the table. I can finish strong. I can finish strong. You know, it doesn't mean that we're not attacked. I probably told my tale. I've got so many tales to tell, my God. You know, the enemy started, you know, the enemy wants to think when you get to be a certain age, which only God knows what that age is, so don't even think about it. But you know, your hips going to go out, your knees going to go out, all this going to go out. Well, the devil tried that on me. And my husband went, because you know what? I will, praise the Lord. And I will praise him in the dance. Yeah. Oh, yes, I will. And you know what? Why do I do that? Because I got up to the table and I learned about that mighty powerful weapon, the dance. And when I dance, I'm dancing in faith because I know what the word says and I know what I'm doing in the realm of the spirit. Oh, yeah, I'm taking ground, taking ground. Oh, yeah. How do I know? Because I got up to my table. I got up to my table. That's how I know. But you know what? I am a woman of the word. My husband came home from work, and you know how, probably in the break room, the guys were talking, and somebody else's hip was trying to go out, and somebody's knee was trying to go out. My husband said, so-and-so had that. He said his wife had that, and she had a hip replacement just like that. She was over it. I said, honey, I'm telling you this right now. Me and both of these hips and these red lips and fingertips are going through the pearly gates together. No, No. How could I boldly say that? Because I've been to the table. I've been to the table, and Pastor Stephen, I knew I already was healed. The devil was trying to talk me out of it.
Can't do that.
Not if you stay at the table, he can't.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you stay off in the back room watching TV, honey, watching documentaries and whatever all you're watching. You better stay off that computer. I'm telling you, watching all that junk, you're liable to forget what you learned at the table.
Yeah.
I was in a church service. I tell you, I was in a little church. It was this big. And I was only a little white-faced heifer in there. And I'm telling you, I was crying. I was hurting so bad. Because it was like bone rubbing bone. And I knew I had to preach, so I just standing there just worshiping Jesus. Because I've been to the table, and I know what happens when I worship him. Mm. And so I heard God say to me, Pastor Elaine, he said, dance. Oh, Pastor Elaine, I was crying because I was hurting so bad. And what I was saying to the Lord is, God, how am I going to preach? How on earth will I preach? And you know, I mean, I knew what these folks was expecting. You know, they didn't invite this little white-faced heifer for nothing. No. And the Lord said, dance. And they had already moved into, you know, a slower. They were bringing it down because they were about to bring me on. They're bringing it down. At B3, it stopped screaming and it was just humming. I said, God, I will dance if it comes back up. Because I just didn't think I had it in me if I didn't have some kind of beat that I could get into it with. I just thought I had to have a little help. I'm telling you, about that time, that organ player went, rawr! And when he did, something went straight up my back, and I'm telling you, I shouted, I bucked, I pitched, I danced, and I was totally and completely miraculously manifested my healing. Why? Because I'd been to the table. And I knew what the word promised me if I would just obey. Oh, it's better than sacrifice. The obedience of it was better than the sacrifice of it. Honey, me or neither one of these hips have ever had a minute's trouble since. Because that word is like a fire. In Acts chapter 2, you all know this, but let's just turn to it right quick. Because see, I am a woman of the word, but oh, I tell you, I'm a woman of the Holy Ghost. I'm a woman of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, I can't live without him. I'm in love with him. I'm not breaking up with him or King James. People, these young pastors and preachers that love me, you know, they're always teasing me and saying, oh, Sister Sandy, try this. Let us get you one of these Bibles. You'll love it. I tell them, listen, me and King James have been going steady for about 50 years now. I am not breaking up with that brother. He has taken good care of me. Pastor Elaine, that brother has never failed me. And I am not going to break up with King James. They don't know what they're going to do with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want to tell you something about the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to get in anybody's doctrine or anything, because I don't do that. But I'm just going to tell you, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost many times. I've been baptized once, but I've been filled many times. Many times. And I'm telling you, I would offer that as a suggestion. you. I know you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost about 117 years ago. I'm proud for you. But you know what? You ought to try to get filled again. Well, you ought to try it. You ought to just pray long enough until you feel the Holy Ghost filling you up all over again. And don't stop until you feel the heat of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Those tongues, that's your prayer language. That's your prayer language. Join me in Romans chapter 8. You know I can't preach without saying it. You know I can't. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, that means the Holy Ghost, also helpeth our infirmities. That word means inability to get results. When you cannot get results, you've been up to the table, you've been praying the word, you've been confessing the word, you've been speaking the word, had nothing changed. Honey, you need to let the Holy Ghost pray through you and pull that thing through that second heaven and cause it to manifest in your life. He said, our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Look here. According to the will of God. I hear my Bible preaching to me. Woo! I hear it. For this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything that is according to his will, he hears us. And then we know we are intimately involved, and we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him.
Yes, Lord.
Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Y'all know I just can't. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. You ever heard that old phrase? Well, it's a mystery to me how that'll ever happen. It is a mystery to me. Well, it's not a mystery to me, because all I know I have to do is hook up with the Holy Ghost in my prayer language, and he will pull that mystery right out of the heart and the mind of my God, pull it right down through that second heaven, through those principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in those high places, and cause it to be established in the earth. That's the power of the fiery Holy Ghost. And then let's just go right on down. Just right on down. Brother Paul said in verse 5, he said, I would that you all spake with tongues. He said, oh, what I would love would be that all of you would speak in tongues. Oh, and he also said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth, builds himself up. And Brother Jude, I think it was, taught us this. He said, when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up on your most holy faith when you pray in the Holy Ghost. But look here, over here, Brother Paul said in verse 14, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my spirit, but my mind is unfruitful. But my understanding, I'm sorry, is unfruitful. Down in verse 18, he said, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, let's remember who's talking. Brother Paul, who was beaten, left for dead, in all those storms, cast overboard, pitched out a window. I mean, that brother went through some mess. But you know what? out of all of those things. God delivered him because he knew how to tap in to God through the fire of the Holy Ghost. And he said, what I would love for it, the way I would love it to be, is that everybody had this revelation that he had. But you know what? That revelation don't come so easy. It comes so easy. I mean, it's right at the table. Now, I don't know if you all saw it on the news this past summer or not. But there was a horrible, horrible fire over on Lake Hamilton. And it was right next door to us. There are 150 that they know. They're 150-year-old, some of them trees, 100-year-old, 120, you know, however old. And on the lake, there's always wind. So everything's dry. And it was last July. Michelle, when was it? The 4th, I guess. Yeah. And some child was in their garage, and he was playing with a firecracker or something. I don't know, a fire something. And caught the fire, the car on fire, but was afraid to go and tell his mom and daddy. You know, being a child, he didn't know. 11 homes burned to the ground like that. I don't know how many cars burned. I'm telling you. And I don't know how many condos, but I mean, they just went up like that. So the fire marshal, well, they had evicted everyone. And we were already in bed because I get up early and pray, and we go to bed early. I mean, don't call me at night. Do not call me unless you're dying. Because I'm telling you, if you get up at 3, you go to bed early. And so we were in bed, and I heard somebody ring the doorbell, but I thought that it was kids playing. And, you know, I'm not an old grouch. Stuff like that don't bother me. So it rang again, and I got up and looked at we have security, you know. And so I looked, and nobody was there. So I just went on back to bed. I thought for sure that it was just a child that had run up there and, you know, to the door. You know how kids will do. Or I would have, you know. That's me. You'd have probably been looking for me if I hadn't got saved. Because I'm telling you, that's just the way I was, you know. I mean, I wasn't afraid of nothing. I had never met anything I was afraid of yet. I'm still waiting. And so then somebody's just banging on our door, and I go to the door, and they said, oh, you have to evacuate. You have to, whatever that word is, I guess it was about, you know, get out. You have to get out. I said, well, what's going on? And they said, oh, there's a horrible fire, and it's coming right at you. So I got my husband up, and they said, get anything that's precious to you. I grabbed a picture of one of my grandsons and my Bible. That's all I got. I guess that's all precious to me in there. But anyway, so we were going to go, but all of the vehicles, you know, from the fire departments. They had so many fire departments that had to come from the area and all. They couldn't get us evacuated. So a lot of them were evacuating by boat. And my husband says, sweetheart, I feel that if we leave this property, we'll lose everything. I said, I do too, and I'm not going nowhere. He said, well, let's just kind of meander over here where we're not noticeable, you know, and we'll just pray. So that's what we were doing. Well, then we saw the fire marshal coming over the fence because it's a big fence in between us. And he said, Mr. Burris, he said, you're going to be next. And my husband had told me, that he said, sweetheart, I want you to look up there on our roof. And it was embers. But, you know, that fire was so hot. And the wind was high. And I'm telling you, it looked like coals that big around. And they were just all over the roof of our property. And he said, sweetheart, that roof is dry. It's a good roof, but it's steel. And he said, we need to stand against that. I said, okay. I'm telling you, this comes so hard and so fast at you, Elaine. So unexpected. You've been sound asleep. And now you're downstairs watching your property, about to lose everything that you've worked all your life for. Because that condo over there on the lake, on Lake Hamilton, on the main channel, on the big water, is more expensive than our big house. I mean, it just is. And that's like our dream. And I'm trying to get my head around this. And I'm telling you, I told somebody, I know the flames were shooting 40 feet high above the trees. And my husband said, oh, sweetheart, I didn't want to exaggerate because I've heard people do that. And I don't like that because it's like God's not as big, so we have to make him bigger. And so my husband said, oh, sweetheart, they were shooting higher than that. And it was like the wind would blow this way. And then it would blow this way. And those big old trees were just going. Have you ever seen like dry cedar, how fast it'll catch up and just, you know, just almost explode? That's the way it was. And those houses, I mean, it was like those flames were just dancing from one house to another. And I remembered what God had spoken to me all those years ago. If the fire of the word and the fire of the Holy Ghost burns hotter in you than the fires of adversity, the greater will consume the lesser. That fire was so hot. And I'm telling you. So the fire marshal came over. He said, Mr. Burris, I'm going to tell you right now, yours will be the next to go because we're right there on the end. And he said, this big tree, he said, just a few more of those. And he said, it's going to do just like all the rest of them did. So my husband came over and he told me what he said. I said, Dad, this cannot be. This cannot be. The devil's trying to steal our dream. No, this cannot be. He said, sweetheart, all I know to do is pray in tongues. So he's praying in tongues. So I just get off and the fire marshals want to talk to him and to, you know, maybe we need to get on our boat and get on out of there. And I'm not going anywhere. And I'm saying, God, give me a strategy. What do I need to do? And you know, God just talks to me so sweet. And you know, he said, well, I tell you what I'd do. This is what he told me. He said, well, I tell you what I'd do. I'd speak to the wind. I said, well, my God, I can't believe I didn't think of that my own self. And so I just told me, all these people are watching me because I'm just walking, praying in tongues. And they don't exactly understand, but they're afraid to put me out because I just might have the power to stop it. And I'm taking authority in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking the name of Jesus. I'm taking authority. I'm commanding the devil to back off of our property. And I'm claiming all of their property. So they're too afraid to try to stop me, but they don't want to mess with me. And so I just stop. And I said, wind, you listen to me. You stop in the name of Jesus. And as God as my witness, it went. And I heard some men saying, that wind has stopped. But then the fireman said, but it's too late. Because it's too far. The embers are so big and they're going. I said, God, now you heard that. Now, you know, I don't know one thing about fire. Now, God, tell me what to do now. I've got the wind stopped. They say it's still going. Now this can't be. This absolutely cannot be. It just cannot be. And so I'm just praying in tongues. I'm just walking praying in tongues. I'm just praying in the spirit because I know. I know because I've been up to the table. I know that when I pray in tongues, I am pulling that mystery, how to stop this thing. Because I'm going to tell you something, children. The fire was winning. The fire was winning. The fire was winning. I think on the TV they said there was 9 different fire departments from the area. I mean, I didn't see it because I don't do much TV, but different other people said, you know, they read, and my children sent me, you know, things on my phone and such. And I was looking up on our roof, and oh, just exactly what that fireman said, even more of those embers. And they were big. They were like coals. They weren't like embers. They weren't going out. I said, I'm just praying the spirit. And then I heard the Lord speak. And this is what he said. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou walkest through the water that shall not overflow thee, and through the river through the fire thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flames kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. I I ran and I found my husband. I said, Dad, this is what God just said. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And I just, you know, said it. He said, okay, I'm in agreement with that word. That's what it'll be. That's what it'll be. And so I just was walking, speaking that word. And then I heard the Holy Ghost start singing it to me. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the river, thou shalt not drown. I don't know what that is. I got the words. I got the words. Let me say it. Because I want to tell you, this is how I fought that fire. I'm going to teach you something if you'll listen to me. Because the Holy Ghost said it. I wrote the words down this morning. Now see, when it was fresh, I didn't miss a word. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. I'm going to tell you, I did that. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you, that right there, I think that used to be a song that we used to sing when we were learning the word, way back in the day. But I'm going to tell you, I sang that song for 2 hours. Not the next morning. Y'all told you how big those things were when the fire department came. They said, Mr. Burris, there's not even a mark on your shingles where those embers were resting. I fought that fire with the fire of a revelation on the Word of God. Now that may sound crazy, and I know those folks that were watching me do it. I danced for 2 hours. I sang to the top of my lungs. And honey, I didn't care what any of them thought. I didn't care because it was my property and I was saving theirs too. I was saving theirs too. I fought fire with the fire of God's word. I fought that fiery adversity that came against me. Only the devil come like that so suddenly and then come against you in the night out of a sound sleep and attack you like that. But I'm telling you, the fire of the word was the greater fire. It didn't matter how impressive those flames looked. I'm telling you, the fire of God's word.